Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday afternoon. The most stressful life experiences you can have, when you think about them, you probably know that moving is on the list. It can cause, I can attest to this, sleepless nights, eating binges, and temper tantrums. Moving causes, according to our guest this hour, physical, emotional, and mental upheaval. You find yourself exhausted and practicing the fine art of procrastination. Oh, look at this, a picture of my great-grandfather I didn't know existed. Let's find out about his history. Well, our guest, as soon as we locate her to add to another level of stress, is the author. Well, she's a professional organizer, and she's the author of a number of books, including Right Size Right Now, The 8-Week Plan to Organize, Declutter, and Make Any Move Stress-Free. We've told you that. Isn't it funny how things happen? I haven't moved in 26 years, and we're facing a move, and oh my gosh, it's just horrendous. It's horrendous. And it turns out that there are three other people in a very small office here in Milwaukee who are also going to be moving. So we figured, well, we're not alone. There are people who are moving to college. There are people who are deciding to downsize their homes. Or even if you're not moving, many of us have issues with clutter and too much stuff, and you want to be able to get rid of some of it so that you just don't trip over all of your stuff. Our guest, should we find her, says that she stops every 3 to 5 years and has a Nothing is Sacred weekend where she donates or tosses older items that no longer serve her to make room for the things that she currently needs. And she wants to open space for things that she might need in the future. So we're going to be talking eventually about all kinds of things, how you make this plan for 8 weeks for your move. Every chapter also has a suggestion for a reward. And some of these are really good rewards, because to do this job, you really do need to pat yourself on the back and say, I am making progress, even though the next day it looks like you haven't made any progress at all. And all this advice about what might be important to keep, what isn't important to keep, websites that are available, how to get boxes, how many boxes do you need. If you are moving, your children have grown up and you still have saved toys and a lot of their schoolwork, which our parents did for us and we've done for our children as well. How much of that do you keep? What about those cheap vases that come with flower delivery? I happened to read that this morning, because what was I doing yesterday looking in the basement? And by golly, there must be at least 10 of those vases that I have saved, because what else do you do with them? But now I will do something else with them. And then the funniest story, which is becoming even funnier because we can't find our guest, is I gave KP a call last night. I said, this is the first hour. I said, I got to read the book and I can't find it. I couldn't find the book because the house is clean and then it gets more cluttered. And I spent at least a half hour looking for the book for this hour because of so much clutter. And then, of course, I found it on my desk under some other papers. So the office needs to be decluttered as well. At any rate, that's what we hope to be talking about. What do you do with expired medications? What do you do with magazines that you think you're going to read because you know there's an article in there somewhere, but you may not be able to find the article, but you know the magazine? Or commemorative magazines? I found Chicago Tribune and Chicago Daily News newspapers of the day that Kennedy was shot. They're not in very good condition, and then the subsequent funeral that my mother had saved. So, of course, I feel that I have to save those as well. And you go through this emotional trauma if you feel like you have to get rid of it, right? So it's involved with all of the history and emotions and sentimental value and things that Aunt Margaret wore back in 1920, and you feel good when you wore it because you remember Aunt Margaret, all of that. You know, it's a big thing to move. All these things going through your mind. Well, we hope to find our guest shortly. I'm not sure where she is, and I'm sure no expert in how to move because I'm going through it, but maybe we could, we'll find her eventually, I'm sure. Maybe we could call in, have you call in and talk about what you have done. You found her? Oh, you found her. Just like I found the book, we found the guest. All is good. All is well. Feel free to call us if you want to declutter, if you're going through a move. I know many of you are in the situation we are. So here's how you reach us. I'm so glad we found her. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We're on Twitter as well at K Dunn Show. And somehow I feel that we're going to have a lot of calls this hour. Regina Leeds is our guest, named the best organizer by Los Angeles Magazine. She has been a professional organizer for 20 years. She's written 8 other books. And this book, I think this is really nice. She was near and dear to our heart right off the bat because the book is dedicated to Charlie and all the companion animals who have so generously graced her life. She says she is humbled by your ability to love, forgive, and inspire. And Charlie is her dog. Well, I'm glad we found you. Hello, and thanks very much, Regina, for being with us. Hi.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm sorry I was out of the loop of giving you my contact information, so it's not my fault. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. It just sort of adds to this because I'm moving. My producers are moving. I'm in the middle of a move that, you know, 27 years in the same house, and it's driving me nuts. And then, to boot, you didn't hear this story on the air. I'm trying to find your book last night because I read the books, and I couldn't find the book. And I'm thinking I must have put it in one of the boxes that has 50 books in it. It just epitomized everything that's going on.
Well, you know, I moved 2 years ago, and I had been in one place for 34 years.
Ooh.
So I am your soul sister, and I feel your pain. And really, you know, there are emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical aspects to a move. It's not just about getting all your ducks in a row. But getting all your ducks in a row and having a plan will help keep anybody calm and serene. And then you can focus on the fact that, you know, you've had a wonderful life, whether it's been a year, 2 years, or 25 years in this place.
Yes.
But now, for whatever reason, you're being moved to a new location, and it's really wonderful, and I don't mean to sound like Pollyanna, but it's really wonderful to view it as an exciting adventure. I've actually been in business 27 years, and when I unpack people who have been my clients in a new residence, I look at their things differently, and once or twice I'll say to them, wait a minute, did you just buy this? And they'll say, oh, no, it was in the old house, but it was in a different location. And so everything takes on new energy and new being. It's a great way to recreate yourself and have an adventure.
Oh, I like this attitude. I really do. Well, you're the kind of person, and even for people who aren't moving now, you also say in your book that you stop every 3 to 5 years, and is this ever good advice? I wish I had done it. And look things over. You toss old items and you make room for other things, you know, but you need to do that. You have to do that, or moves become very big deals.
Well, try and imagine that you have a child, and your child grows from a baby to a toddler, but you don't want to get new clothes, so you keep putting onesies on this toddler. It's somehow not appropriate. And I would hope that every 3 to 5 years we can look around and say, you know, I'm not the same person I was 3 to 5 years ago. Good things have happened to me. Things I might label bad have happened to me, and I hope we grow from both. Mm-hmm. And so what an environment is to me is an outpicturing of who you are. And so if I freeze frame that, I freeze frame my life experience. And I think that takes away from life. And, you know, now I can also speak to when I moved, every 3 to 5 years, I was downsizing, and I keep it to lean and mean and what I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into a pickle because my building had changed its rules. Before Charlie, I had 2 golden retrievers.
Oh.
And suddenly I couldn't have a dog, so I had to move for Charlie. And I found an apartment that had 700 square feet, and I had been living for 34 years with 1,200 square feet. And then I had to, that forced me to part with a lot of furniture that I truly thought would be with me forever because I just loved it, and I had to let it go. And I have to tell you a funny anecdote. I tried to sell it, and, of course, the universe was telling me, you have to give this away. Nobody wants it. And so the guys come to pick it up. I gave it to one of those cancer stores. That sounds
yes.
like, yeah, you know, but you
right.
go in and you buy things and it raises money for
mm-hmm.
research. And so they take these pieces out, and I close the door, and I say, now when I turn around, it's going to hurt. It's okay. I'm going to miss them. I'm going to cry. I'm preparing myself. I turn around. I see all that open space, and I felt nothing but freedom.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. You're my kind of person. You bought your new place because of your dog. I love that. I love dogs. And there, I've seen a picture of Charlie. Tell me. We'll get back to moving in a second.
Yes,
but you
got
to
yes.
tell me your dog story too.
Well, he has a story. I was looking for a Great Dane. I love big dogs. I mean, the bigger the better. I would have an Irish Wolfhound if I could.
I would too.
Oh, they're just
yes.
And so small dogs are wonderful, but I just wasn't looking for one. It wasn't in my head. And I met somebody at a party, and I tease her now, and I say, you know, I should have stayed home because your party changed, put a bomb in my entire life. And I meet a woman there who says, oh, you have to meet my sister. She does volunteer work for this particular dog charity. And I said, oh, and she said, and right now they need cuddle volunteers. They had just brought in 23 sick puppies who were sick with distemper, and they needed humans to come over and hold them and cuddle them. And because, you know, that touch is all part of the healing
right.
process, whether you're human or animal. And I said, this is right up my alley. I don't have to train them. I don't have to pick up after them. I don't have to pay their medical bills.
Uh-huh.
I just have to go over and cuddle them. And they're all in the back of this house except for one. And that's Charlie. And he greets me at the door,
aww.
And he looks at me, and I swear I heard him say, hey, hi, how are you? I've been waiting for you. What took you so long? And I say back to him in my heart, oh, no, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. I don't do small dogs. But, you know, I'm here to love you today. I sit on the floor. He lays across my lap, and they said, oh, he claimed you. And I said, oh, yeah, right. He does this to everybody, I'm sure. Well, then I find out a few days later that Charlie has gone to the hospital and he's not expected to live.
Oh.
And I said, well, listen, you know, he's 2 miles from where I'm living, so any day that I'm not with a client, I'll just go over. And it's important to hear, you're so handsome, you're such a good boy, you can do this, I know you can. And let's face it, I went almost every day, and when we got to the third week, the staff looked up one day and said, okay, so you know this is your dog, right?
Really? Of course.
And it's like, oh, God, okay. And I said I would take him, and I gave notice at my apartment that, believe me, I love dearly. And I started looking for a place, and he had to live with a friend for 2.5 months while I found my new place and got settled. And he's really one of the great loves of my life.
Oh, and Gina.
He's not a robust boy. He's been sick a lot. Charlie has cost me a small fortune.
I imagine.
But, you know, I mean, for me, and I'm not saying everybody has to feel this way, but for me, if I make a commitment, I make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember sitting in a room with him and telling him that if I became his mom, that we would do this forever, and no matter what happened, we would never be parted. So $9,000 later.
Oh, my gosh.
Here we are. And I'm hoping now we have it all under control, and he's well. But he's a very sweet soul, and he's a dear boy, and I'm blessed. He's been my teacher.
Well, and he's blessed, too. You sound like a dear soul as well. All right, we have a ton of phone calls. I just want to ask
great.
You, well, let me ask you one question, and then we'll go to the many calls. Some people are in the process of moving right now as they're listening to you too. But you mentioned the child's toys. You mentioned what happens to me when I move is that there is all this stuff that's been saved, and all the artwork that your child has done, and all of the, you know, papers from Aunt Margaret who died years ago, or from our parents, and we've left papers from them, and maybe clothing or maybe items. It is so hard to go through all of that. Please talk about how you how you treat all of the things that at some time have been very important.
Oh, absolutely. That's a wonderful question. And I have actually a large section in the book on the different things that people will say to me about those items. But in general, let me say, first of all, with the dawn of the digital age, parents no longer have to save every single piece of artwork that their children do. They can now take a picture of it and put that in. You can make an online photo album or scrapbook that is yours to look at whenever you want, and there are many different sites you can go to, and you can make it available to family and friends, and that's where it can live forever. Because I have never met a human being, an adult, who will turn to me and say, "Hey, do you want to see the artwork I did when I was in kindergarten? I still have it. Do you want?" I mean, you know, it would be like, "Well, no, really, and I have to leave now." And really, what we have to understand is that we're saving that for ourselves. We're not saving it for our children. We're saving it for ourselves. And, you know, take the best pieces. If you want one or two physical pieces, take one or two. Have an art gallery in some hallway and have them framed, and every year switch them out or keep them up for a number of years. And by the way, ask your child, you know, is this important to you? Would this make you happy? I've known so many parents, I walk into their homes and I see pictures of young children, 10 and under. And I say, "Oh, this is your child?" And they go, "Oh, well, he's married now and has children, but yes, that's my son." And I think, I don't think he's that thrilled, or God forbid the picture of, you know, the naked baby butt.
Right.
And
I have one of those, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know. So, you know, free yourself up that way. Now, when it comes to the dead, if someone has just passed away, then you need to figure out how much time you need to come to terms with the fact that that person will not be coming home, will not be using their things.
Right.
I would say, and everybody's different, you know, but I would say after about a year max, it's time to look at those things differently and to realize the person is not their stuff. You're keeping the person present with your memories and with the clever ways, the creative ways you find to honor them. Now, I was always taught, my parents felt the day after the funeral, you give the clothing away to a charity because the person's not going to be using them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much what I've done with clothing. I remember cutting the buttons off my parents' clothing when they died, and I was very young. I was 24 when my father died and 25 when my mother died.
Oh.
And I was going to do button art, which is actually a thing. You can make images, and then one day, about 10 years later, I realized I'm not a crafty person.
Mm-hmm.
This was never going to happen. But there is always a place where you can donate these items where they will be loved and have a whole new life. And I personally say to my friends, you know, when I die, take what you want and use it. But what you don't want, make sure you donate it. Don't have it sitting somewhere making you feel guilty, because I'm not these chairs. I'm not these books, you know. A few years ago, before I became an organizer, for many years I was a professional actress, and I was a theater major in college, so I had a lot of plays. I had a wonderful collection of plays, and they had their own bookcase. And one day I looked at them and I said, "What is wrong with me? I'm not going back to acting, and this doesn't keep me in the profession. These are plays. They should be used by young people who are studying acting, and they should be loved." And so I donated them to a high school for the performing arts.
Oh, how nice of you.
So, well, you can always find the person, the organization, who needs what you have to give. And, you know, if you want to save one or two items, and I love shadow boxes. You know, you can put a picture up, let's say, of you with your mother has passed away, and you have a favorite picture of you and your mother. And it just so happens that after she dies, you have the dress or the coat or the hat that she was wearing. You can take a swatch of fabric and some other things that were dear to her.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, then you make the person come alive rather than being what is really and true stuck with a lot of items. And let me tell you, when somewhere in that family chain of events, and I've seen it happen from the uber wealthy to the regular person. You die, and the next day, the dumpster comes, and nobody holds your stuff sacred the way you do. So you might as well find the right home for that stuff before it gets tossed into a dumpster.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go to phone calls. We are filled. I had a feeling that we might be, because this affects all of us at some point. If you're thinking about moving 5 years from now, start cleaning stuff out now. That's my advice for the hour. We're speaking with Regina Leeds this hour, and her book is Right Size Right Now, The 8-Week Plan to Organize, Declutter, and Make Any Move Stress-Free. She has been named Best Organizer by Los Angeles Magazine, and is author of many books, including the national bestseller, 1 Year to an Organized Life. Our phone number, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@WPR.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Tell us your moving tips there as well, so we can all do this easier. And we're on Twitter, @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, let's go to phone calls, and we start with Steve in Madison. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, and thank you for showing up with this guest. And I'll get to the question that you've heard 1,000 times before, the more difficult Oscar and Felix problem. Rather than just dealing with the clutter, you have to deal with your partner as well.
Right.
And I think listeners would enjoy having you spend as much time as necessary on that conflict between partners over what stays and what goes.
Oh, Steve, what a great question. Thank you for asking that. I'm going to give you a start with a surprising answer because I get asked this question a lot, and usually in a seminar when I do this, the person asking the question is the tosser, and I find in life that the tosser and the saver usually wind up together because there's a balance there. And I know that the tosser wants me to say that he or she has the right way to go, and, how do we get this saver over here to get on board with the organizing train and shape up? And so what I say is, one of the things you have to ask yourself first is, out of all the people on planet Earth to share your life with, how did you come to choose this person who would bring this challenge into your life? So you each have something to learn. And if you can let go of the concept, one of us is right and one of us is wrong, and just have a dialogue about these items, that will make it easier. And then you also have to consider things like, does the saver hold on to things because of a traumatic event in the past? I find that all of my clients who are savers, something has happened in the past where they have had a great loss. I had one client who crossed the border when there were communist countries, and she lost everything except a little box she got from the Red Cross. Oh. She was 8 years old at the time. I had another client who went away on her first sleepover at the age of 5, and while she was gone, her house burned down. Her brother accidentally burned it down. So if you have a dialogue with your partner, you may find out, gee, when they were in school, they had an uber-controlling parent, and they couldn't, make their room look the way they wanted, so now everything becomes sacred to them. You can have a person who had an emotional trauma, and they don't realize it, but they really weren't present for a lot of their life, and the item is what triggers what happens. Mm. So always, if you can get to the root of the issue, then you can say, I never made that connection before, and I'm no longer in the past. Now I'm in the present. I can have, especially with a move, I can have a whole new relationship with the items that I'm dealing with. And if necessary, there's analysis. Therapy is great. Transactional analysis is usually just a few sessions to help you better deal with what's happening in the present. But I would say that commitment to the relationship, communication, so you both understand, why do you want to throw that away? And, hey, this is why I want to keep it. And then when you understand, then you can say, okay, we I'm dealing with a client right now who has more clothing than she can fit in this house, and we're trying to find creative ways to keep it. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just about, I understand you had a traumatic experience in the past, but the new place doesn't hold all this furniture. The new place won't accommodate all this clothing, all these hobbies, all these magazines, whatever it is.
Right.
So instead of fighting about it, let's together work for a creative solution. And that's a great time to call on a professional organizer, because we don't take sides. We just look at the stuff and we can come up with an objective solution that will help bring peace to both parties. Because, you know, you're sharing that space. It's not about what I need and want and what you need and want. It's about what do we look like in physical space and how can we create that and accommodate it.
Thank you, Steve, so much. Lisa is next. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in the middle of a move within the next couple of months from northwestern Wisconsin to west central Wisconsin, around the Stevens Point area. Mm-hmm. And I live on my great-grandparents' homestead, which mm-hmm. also includes things from my great-great-parents. Grandparents.
Oh my.
I have a hobby farm, actually. I have horses and white doves that are going to be coming with me, along with a beautiful dog that I cherish, and a couple of cats. I also have beginning stage ALS and possibly Lyme disease, and I'm going to be doing a great portion of this move on my own.
Oh, Lisa.
That includes a ton of family heirlooms that my daughter, who I'm moving closer to, wants to keep up due to some of her commitments. She can help me as much as she can, but
mm-hmm.
she can't be here a lot. And, you know, she wants to keep the family heirlooms, and I've been trying to do everything right. I'm doing most of this on my own, but just I'm a little bit overwhelmed.
She needs help, Regina.
Well, Lisa, that's an overwhelming situation. So the
right.
first thing I would say to you, which I would say to everybody who's organizing for a day or doing a big project or a move, is the number one thing is what drives the organizing train, and that is decision making. And how do we make easy decisions? We have to have a tuned-up body. So I would say be very, very careful these days that you are drinking water and eating good food and taking breaks, and, you know, you have an opportunity to go out in nature. I think if you breathe into a horse's nostrils, all your problems will go away. They're such amazing creatures. But here's the thing. If your daughter wants these heirlooms, it is really because of all of the other issues that you have, it cannot be on your plate to transport them. She's going to have to say, does she have room in her house for them, or are you supposed to hold on to them in your new home?
A lot of them are furnishings and small things, and yes, I mean, they all, you know, the number that I have are all, you know, mean a greatly deal to me, and so the heirlooms aren't as big of a problem as just trying to, you know, I've sold part of my place, you know, which doesn't include the house, and so, you know, what I'm going to have to do is clean up, you know, essentially everything that was on a farm in the 1800s.
Oof.
And you don't have, I mean, you really need help. I mean,
mm-hmm.
even if you were 25 and you didn't have a health issue, this is a huge undertaking. So is there any other family member, a cousin or someone that, you know, you could say, listen, if you come and help me, I will give you a family heirloom to treasure. You know, this will be part of your heritage. I mean, is there anyone you can call on besides your daughter?
No. I mean, we, you know, it's a small family, and everyone else has passed away.
Do you have good friends who would come over and help you?
Essentially, I do have a couple of friends that can help me put things in dumpsters, and they have told that and working on dumpsters. And the other kind of underlying issue here is I had a live-in fiancé for 8 years that passed away about 2 years ago. And his family is, you know, a little iffy on a lot of things.
Well, you know, Lisa, first of all, I would if friends have offered to help you, I would absolutely say yes, please come over. But here's what's going to make it easier. Don't just have them come over and say, gosh, I need help. What'll we do to, you know, you have an agenda beforehand. And I will tell you, I'm a cancer survivor. And when I was going through chemo, I needed a lot of help. But I doled it out. Like, if you could do my errands and somebody else could do my grocery shopping and somebody else could help me walk my dog, I didn't want anybody to get tired of me during that 6 month period. So, but everybody, and they all said to me later, how great, we always had an assignment. We had a beginning, a middle, and an end. We knew exactly what you expected of us. So I think that works well in this situation. You know, if you have somebody who's a little younger and stronger and they can haul into that dumpster, or they can bring their grandsons or their sons.
Right.
Say to them, that's what I would like you to do. Boy, would that mean a lot to me. And sometimes what really helps is if you're the one, there are certain things I can imagine that only you can do. Say to a good friend, you know what would mean everything to me? Come and sit with me. You don't have to do a thing. But if I have the comfort of your presence in this room with me, I'm gonna feel much better. And the other thing I would say is you've got to put this in place sooner rather than later, because here's what's going to happen. As you get closer to the move, you're going to be more pressured and more exhausted, and you're going to start either taking things that you don't want or tossing things that you would like to keep, because we get crazy when it all comes down to that, to the end. And then the last thing is, I would, if you can afford it, I would have movers do most of the moving. You've got to find ways to save your physical strength. Otherwise, you're going to exacerbate the physical condition that you have, and then you won't be having any fun with your dog or your horses when you get to the new place. And that's what you want to keep your eye on, the prize. I'm creating a new life, a simpler life. And this is, there's nothing I can say. This is, you know, you're on your family homestead. This is a lot of emotion Are you selling your property?
Yes, I'm selling my property. Also, one good thing I have is a useless emission within 2 miles. And they're willing to help me out a little bit.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, how great. And I presume that you like the people who bought the property?
My family, why, they're pretty much, okay, you stole everything from my mom and dad, and so, you know, what I'm going to do with the remaining things that belong to them is try to rent a storage unit nearby and put all those things in there and tell them, leave it open, say, come and get it. That's that.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. We need to move to some other calls. Thank you very much, and all the best to you. You've got a lot on your mind and a lot physically to do. Let's go to Dawn in Hayward next. Hi, Dawn.
Hi there. You know, I'm in Northwest Wisconsin, too. Maybe you should give her my number. I've done estate sales for years, and I'm stuck in the middle of my living room as I heard your show come on, and everything was getting moved into the bedroom because I'm trying to declutter. But I have literally about 100 years' worth of stuff of my mother-in-law's and now my mother's and mine in my garage and spread throughout the house. And I learned from someone like you, they said, if it isn't useful, sentimental, or beautiful, don't keep it. And that really has helped me. I've also taken some clothing of my mom's that fits nobody, but it's beautiful silk stuff, and we're going to make pillows out of it for the family members.
Mm-hmm.
Great. This morning I said, Angela, you want my Girl Scout book? No, I'm good. So I'm thinking, why am I saving all this stuff? My mother-in-law died. Nobody wanted her stuff. My mom moved out of her house, and everybody wanted to hurry it so much. I finally said, put it all in a truck. It's going to my house, and I'm going to sit on it for a year, and then we'll do what we need to do with it. And I'll tell you what, looking at her things in my home, they look different.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the
stuff
came here that I don't want it. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. I've learned so much. And in keeping all this stuff, I'm a pack rat, I realized that when I was a kid, I grew up in an alcoholic family, And the reason I kept all this stuff was because my coping was rearranging. And if I don't have anything left to rearrange, I'm going to go back to my childhood and have to feel those feelings.
Mm.
I give you an A-plus and move you to the head of the class that you made that connection and that realization, and that will ultimately free you. Most people are driven by things that happen in their childhood, by their emotional fears, and they don't stop to. They don't think that organizing has any emotional connection. They think it's just about the stuff, and the stuff is just the physical object that lets you know how things are percolating inside. So that is, you've taught the listeners more. I can make that statement forever, but you just taught them so much by offering that example, and I really honor you.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's get down to some nitty-gritty things here, because your book is also filled with lots of suggestions, Regina. Boxes. Everybody in this office is trying to collect boxes. You have suggestions of where to get them, because boxes can be very expensive, and also to maybe even calculate how many boxes you need.
You know, there are sites online like apartment.com and move.com, and you put in your personal information about the size of the room and so forth, and then they'll calculate for you exactly how many boxes you need. But there are always ways to snag free boxes. It takes a little effort. Now, I think if you don't want to buy new boxes, they are expensive, you can also buy gently used boxes from your mover, and they're in good condition and they're clean. You don't have to feel, you know, they're not going to come with pizza stains on them.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also drive around your neighborhood on a weekend, and if you see somebody moving, just go up and introduce yourself and say, hey, listen, are you going to do something with these boxes? Could I come back in a week or so and, you know, tell me when? Here's my number. I'd be willing to give you a couple bucks for them. Most people will just say, take it.
Right.
Take it, get it out of my house. If you go to liquor stores or grocery stores, they'll give you boxes, and those are nice reinforced boxes. You can look at freecycle.com. That's freecycle.com, craigslist.com. These are sites where people who want to offload things will say, hey, you know, I've got a move coming up, and I'm looking for boxes, or I won't need them. So if you have the time, you have a little leeway there to be creative and get some boxes, even if it's just a couple. You know, once you pack the first couple of boxes, then the move is real.
Yes.
And then the first domino has been pushed, and then you're on that train, and then you're moving out of the station.
Our guest this hour is the author of Right Size Right Now, the 8-week plan to organize, declutter, and make any move stress-free. Regina Leeds, she's also the author of 1 Year to an Organized Life. Lines are open for you right now. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, email talk at WPR.org, Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're on Twitter at K Dunn Show. We have a lot of messages on Facebook as well. We'll get to some of those and to more of you. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to some of our phone number is 800-486-8655. Regina, Jerry writes to us on Facebook. This is here is the rub. I would probably be a millionaire today if when we moved, my mother had not thrown out my collections of thousands of comic books from the 50s and 60s.
Listen, I'd be a millionaire if my father hadn't sold the brownstone I grew up in Brooklyn. So I feel your pain.
You're right.
I don't discount that Jerry has a point, but that's an argument that people think that gives them. It's a good idea to hold on to everything because one day it might be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be. It might also happen that you'll be run over by a truck. It might happen that you'll be caught in a big earthquake. It might happen that you'll be involved in a bank robbery. But the odds of these things happening are astronomical. So if you live in a gigantic house and you want to fill it with stuff that is not important to you, anymore, but it might be valuable one day, then that's your choice. Mm-hmm. However, Jerry really brings up a point that's important, and that is if you are a parent and you are making the decisions for your children, if they are 5 years of age and under, and, you know, that's a very young child, and they're not really capable of making, their brains aren't developed enough to really get involved in that decision-making process. You do have to do most of it for them. But I would certainly involve them. You know, little children, you can say to them, hey, these are your boxes, and you know what? We're going to know where they go when we get to the new house, because I want you to draw on them, decorate them, put stickers on them. Definitely involve the children. But don't casually make decisions for them about what is important to them. You shouldn't do it for another adult either. I mean, unless you're married to somebody who says, I'm just so unattached to stuff, I don't care, you make all the decisions for me, which is a pretty rare human being. I've worked with women who made decisions about their husband's stuff, and I swear to you, the husband's it's usually the husband. I'm not being sexist. It's usually the man, he's coming home and he goes right to the trash can. It's like a homing pigeon. It's like, I know my stuff is in there. And that just leaves you feeling violated. So if you do want to make decisions for other people, then what you have to say is, I've put these items aside.
Yes,
I don't see you play them with them anymore. I don't see you use them anymore. I don't think we need to take them to the new house. How do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. And then maybe a negotiation will start. If you have a teenager, you know, hormones are raging, and you know this is sometimes complicated, but it's the involve everybody in the process. It shouldn't just be one person, whether it's the mom or the dad making the decision. You know, somebody's going to be the point person, but nobody should be the one who decides everything that goes and everything that gets tossed. It's one of the ways we show love and respect for other people is by saying, you know, let's talk about these items. What do you think? This is what I think. What do you think?
An email asking you for practical advice for packing boxes versus plastic bins, how to fold things, etc.
Well, I think that I love to see movers pack for you because they do it all day long and they do it better than anybody can. And by the same token, at the other end, it's really great if you have a professional organizer like me who specializes in moving unpack you. But with that said, there are numerous items in a home that you cannot break. Sheets, towels, soft plush toys, I'm drawing a blank, but I know there are other things. So anything that books, you can't break up. You know, if you put them in, carefully, you're not going to break them. So I would say that all those items you can pack yourself, and it doesn't really take a lot of skill. If you're talking about how to pack breakables, the first thing you have to know is, and I've even seen professional movers not do this, that the bottom of the box, that's not a place for you to skimp on paper. You've got to have a lot of paper on the bottom to cushion what you're going to place on top. You want to go from the heaviest to the lightest. You want to keep things basically together. I used really great movers, and for some reason they were exhausted. I've worked with these guys for years, and they were exhausted the day they did my move. So I would open one box that had a pot in it, and I wouldn't know where the lid was. It was like a storybook. I would have to wait two or three boxes later. So if you're packing for yourself, don't do that. Make sure everything stays together. Dishes need to they stand up and they nestle one into each other rather than flat. Flat, if you drop the box, it's going to be like a karate chop right through the plates. But there's a wonderful site, about.com, ehow, little letter E, then the word how.com, or you can just type in how to pack and then put in the item that you are thinking of, whether it's dishes, glasses, antiques, or whatever. And on YouTube, also YouTube, that's a great source, you will find demonstrations of how to pack. But the other thing I will say, just as a general reference, when you put a box down, you shouldn't hear anything, and nothing should move if it's got breakable stuff in it, because that's an invitation to breakage.
Mm-hmm. Deborah in Brown Deer, hi.
Hi, I promised I would stick to one point about asking how much it costs to hire a professional organizer, but I just have to say, like 4 days ago, I was at Bayshore, and in the hallway, Bradley Vera, it's a really nice shop. They, you know, it's custom, like, nice, like Laura Ashley stuff. And this lady, this girl was just unpacking boxes, beautiful boxes, and she had about five garbage bags full of really nice tissue paper that had, the stuff had been packed in. And I said, oh, this is a mover's paradise. And if I were moving, this would be great. She said, yep. I said, do you do this every week? She said, no, once about every 3 months. And so there's a little cue. If anybody's moving in 3 months, they can check Bradley Vera out. But I'm sure a lot of those businesses do that. But there's a show on Ion Life non-cable. It's called Meet. And the woman says, hi, I'm Helen Buttigieg, and I'm a professional organizer. Come along for the ride as I help whoever the family is organize their life. And it's just, oh, I'm like, don't throw that away. Don't throw that away. She gets these people to purge, and when they come back to their house, it's so beautiful. It's like, but it's really helpful to know there's other people that are like you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, when I teach seminars, I'm in Los Angeles. I'm based in Los Angeles, and I also go back home and work in New York. So I have a clientele that's basically very wealthy, and people always ask me, how are rich people different from the rest of us? And I say, their stuff costs more. We're all human beings. If we're into collecting things, then we're going to collect things, you know? So we're all the same, and we're all human beings, and we're all controlled by emotional issues, and it's all the same. You asked how much a professional organizer costs, and I will tell you that depends on the city you're in. You know, the area makes a difference, and also the number of years and the level of experience the organizer has. So I would say probably the least expensive amount you would pay would be for somebody who's beginning. That's probably $25 an hour, and they're usually trying to build a clientele, and then it can go up from there. I don't know what the uber-famous organizers charge. I'm $150 an hour. So there's a range.
Thanks, Deborah, for the call. Joanne in Winona says, and I've heard this, it's good advice, I consider my house has a weight limit. If anything comes into my house, something has to go out. New jeans, new blouse, the bag, the new items came in, has to be packed with a pair of items that will go to the local clothing discount, Goodwill, or Salvation Army.
You know, people say to me all the time, when I enter their closet, okay, Regina, I know what the rule is. If I haven't used this in 6 months, it has to go. If I haven't used this in a year, it has to go. I know if I bring something in, something else has to go out. And I don't have those rules. My question always is, what is the emotional story behind an item that you want to keep? That's how I get you to divest yourself of what you don't need. We talk through it. But with that said, if you like the concept of one thing in, one thing out, fabulous. Do it. If you like the concept of, hey, I haven't touched this in 6 months, out it goes. Whatever the rule is that speaks to you personally, that's the rule that you should follow.
One room at a time, should you or not?
Yes. Oh, yes. If you, especially when you're moving, if you start projects and, you know, in every room, you're going to make yourself insane. So, because also, you're going to start working, and you're going to get to that emotional point, and then you'll say to yourself, I can't deal with this anymore. I'm going to go down to the kitchen now and start packing dishes.
Right.
And then soon the house is like an unfinished pizza. You know, there are bits and pieces of packing and unpacking everywhere. So one of the rules of organizing, no matter what you're, to me, here I am giving out a rule, completion. If something starts, it has to finish. I take a dish out of the cupboard. I have to wash that dish and then put it back when I'm done. I take food out of the refrigerator. When I'm finished eating, I put it back. Now you're thinking, oh, Regina, of course. But with your clothing also, I wore this today. Can I wear it again? Do I have to put it in the hamper? Does mm-hmm. it, you know, there's a cause, there's a beginning and there's an end.
Yeah, and that's true of this show. We have to end. Thanks, Regina, for being with us. Our guest this hour, Regina Leeds. Her book is Right Size Right Now, the 8-week plan to organize, declutter, and make any move stress-free. She's also author of 1 Year to an Organized Life. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour and Scotty Myers for doing our on-air production. Thanks for your calls. Happy moving and decluttering and organizing to each and every one of you. And thanks for listening.